mom's favorite fantasy football podcast with your mom's favorite host, Bobby Sylvester. Today, we're diving into the best ball, which has taken the fantasy football community by storm. And we've got one of the best with us to draft and talk strategy. It's Justin McMahon of reallygoodpicks.com. If you haven't already, make sure to hit the subscribe button and drop a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Follow me on social media at yourmomsffpod. Hey everyone, it's Bobby Sylvester. Welcome into your mom's favorite fantasy football podcast. On today's show, we're going to be teaching you the best strategies on underdog best ball. This is the best fantasy football game on the market, and if you haven't tried it, today's the day because you're going to love it. We're going to be doing a real draft on today's show, and we want to compete with you. If you've never played, Underdog makes it really easy to get going. They have a brand new offer for new customers. All you have to do is just play $5 and you get $50 in bonus funds when you sign up using our code TEAMJORTS. That's TEAMJORTS, Team Jorts. The link is on my new social medias, X, Instagram, Facebook, at Your Mom's FF Pod. While you're signing up, give me a follow there, by the way. Use the link, use the code TEAMJORTS, and let's win your league together. Justin, it's a pleasure. Thanks for coming to the show. What's it like being a huge Duke fan?
Thanks, Bobby. I went to UNC for anybody who doesn't know me, so that's a pretty insulting intro. But I do appreciate that you got my last name right. The officiant at my own wedding botched it, so I'm pretty impressed that you got it right.
Yeah, so since the last time we talked, man, you got married, you're a dad now, and looks like you're really living it up. Congratulations, that's fantastic.
I know. Thank you. I am enjoying it. I've got one right now and really enjoying it. How is it having six, Bobby?
It's about the same as having one. It's absolute chaos in the best possible way. My wife's a superstar. By the way, the logo for the new podcast, that's supposed to be a cartoon version of my wife because she's a mom and,
nice,
really good looking gal. So, of course, I got a lot of kids. I don't know. We might end up with like 20. Who knows? We're both young.
The show name applies to at least six people. It's probably
right.
your kid's mom's favorite podcast.
So, you know, by now, Justin, you've won like a kajillion dollars on DFS and best ball. Do you have like a most memorable win?
Yeah, my most memorable win is still one of my earlier ones, which I think that's probably true for a lot of people. I would guess that when you are just get going, you hit one of those first big wins, that's when it's most exciting. And then it over the years, it loses its luster a little bit. But I got to go to the Playboy Mansion when I was 19 years old to play in the Fantasy Baseball World Championship. And it was the last party at the Playboy Mansion before Hugh passed away. And I won. And it was $100,000 first place at that time. Nowadays, I mean, the best ball prize for the big one on Underdog is like $2.5 million or something. I mean, it's the prizes have really escalated. The game's getting a little more challenging as well. There's more people playing it. But yeah, that was my all-time favorite memory. And then I have a couple of favorite non-wins.
Where I was Matt Olson, right?
Matt Olson Grand Slam. And then my dad telling me that I won the Millie Maker when I hadn't actually won. That's also one of our favorite memories together. I had I had Zay Jones. I needed a Zay Jones touchdown to win the Millie Maker, and Marvin Jones scored. But my dad's stream was like three seconds ahead of mine, so he's like, "Justin, you're a millionaire. Congratulations!" And I was like, "Oh my god!" And then I watched the pass go to Marvin Jones, and I was like, "Oh, Dad!" I was like, "Dad, there's two Joneses." He's like, "I can't keep up with the Joneses."
The Matt Olson one was just classic because you went on the live stream and you're like, "Hey, I'm about to win a bajillion dollars. I'm sweating it. As long as Matt Olson doesn't hit a home run here, I'm gonna win." And very first pitch, he hits the grand slam. But you know, I remember you were 19 years old and you were at the Playboy Mansion. I was texting you, just being like, "Hey, good luck, man. Who do I need to root for?" And the guy that you told me very next at bat hit a home run, and I was just like, "Dude, he's gonna win it." 19 years old, 100 grand. What an absolute dream!
I got the home run I needed then, and I got the anti home run I didn't need later. It all comes back around. But you know, it's been a fun time. It's a fun industry, and the way best ball is blowing up is really exciting. I feel like there's a whole nother runway now for the fantasy community to kind of go on to a new game. I still play DFS, still have projections for it on my site, and really enjoy DFS. But I think that in terms of new games that people can pick up and learn, best ball is the one that's really taking over right now.
It's the best. And we're going to talk about strategy, you know, how it works, everything along those lines so that you guys can get plugged in, because it really is my favorite above traditional fantasy, dynasty fantasy, DFS. Best ball is where it's at. And Justin is great at it. He's done, I think, 250 plus drafts already this year. And he's going to give you a lot of the good strategy. But before we get to that, you launched reallygoodpicks.com. Tell us what you guys do there. Tell us where we can find you on social media.
Yeah, so I started a company called DFI about 10 years ago, ran that for 7 or 8 years, and then had an issue with a business partner and realized, you know, I kind of am the company, right? Like, I provide most of the content. I'll just start a new one instead of dealing with this guy. And so that's what I ended up doing. Was really glad that I did. It's gone great. Just kind of simplified things, and I think people are really loving the kind of simpler version of the site. But as far as content goes, so I've got best ball rankings, and I'll share my screen real quick so people can see. So I've got rankings, and I just kind of have every single player our thoughts, and we update this almost every day, and just you can download it and upload it straight into Underdog. So if you just click CSV, and then you can edit your rankings. And so I think it's really important to go into a draft with a good set of rankings, because what'll happen is, you're going to auto draft a guy like Ayuk. You know, I've got him ranked 134. I think that's where he belongs, but his ADP has been falling. And he's often going to be the top ranked player. If you're pick 115, Ayuk's going to show up as the top player because his ADP is adjusting slowly over time as his injury situation gets worse. You're going to end up accidentally drafting a guy like this. And so that's why I think it's really important to go in with preset rankings. And then on my site as well, if you're into DFS, we've also got our projections for every sport. And for if you sign up for an NFL membership, it's only $29 a month. You get our DFS projections. We've got preseason content that we do. This is still from last year's playoffs because we haven't had an NFL main slate in a while. But this is kind of what it looks like. You can download it, put it into an optimizer. So this is for a little more hardcore fans. And you know, the best ball content is for, you know, right now. This is for midseason. Best ball is for now, but it all comes with the $29 membership. A lot of sites sell them separately, but I just kind of lump them all together.
Yeah, I've been using your stuff for like over a decade, man. It's always really good. You guys have some unique insights that I think a lot of other people don't. Where can they find you on social media, Justin?
It's just my name, at Justin McMahon. We do have a company Twitter, but you know what I realize is nobody really likes engaging with businesses on social media. So I pretty much just stopped using it and I just post from my own account. And I just don't really do that much marketing anymore. In the beginning, I would post all the time about all the content we had. And now I probably post like once or twice a month. And then other than that, I'm just tweeting about best ball and fantasy football because that's what people really want to see. And I think that, you know, we have enough customers, we have a great community that I'm content, I'm happy with it. So I just don't really post all that much promotional stuff, but I'd love for people to come on and engage with fantasy football stuff.
Absolutely. Sounds great, man. Let's dive on into Underdog. So Underdog is the best place to play best ball. They've got a $2 million top prize, which we're going to get to in just a moment. In fact, let me go ahead and show that to you right now. So when you go to Underdog, you click on drafts, you click on NFL, and then here's the big dog right here. Best Ball Mania. So you see this $25 entry, $15 million in prizes because we've got over 670,000 entries. I love the fast one, 20 seconds per pick, because like Justin said, there's people who get auto-drafted. It's not going to be me because I'm going to be prepared. And then let's go on down here. Check this out. Here's the prize breakdown. $2 million for first, $1 million for second. Lots of folks are going to win six figures plus. It goes for the first 14 weeks, and then you get to the playoffs. And we're going to be talking about, Justin, some of this strategy. Do we really want to look for certain playoff matchups? We'll get to that in just a moment. But what it comes down to is we're going to draft 18 rounds, and then there's no waiver wire, no trading. You have to start one quarterback per week, two running backs per week, three wide receivers and a flex, a tight end, and then you got 10 bench. But the thing is, we don't have to set our lineups, Justin. So we're drafting for the best lineup every single week. And it's going to take your best option, no matter who you end up with. So we want some spikes. It's not like you want the consistent player who's going to get, you know, 10, 12 points here every single week. We want those big 25-point weeks. And so we'll be drafting with that in mind. Now, I want to go on over to the strategy, okay? We talked about how best ball works. Roster build. Justin, how many wide receivers are you targeting? How many running backs, quarterbacks, tight ends do you really want?
Yeah, so I think this is an area that gets talked about the most is probably wide receivers, because you have to start three wide receivers every week, and you start two running backs, one tight end, and one QB. And then there's a flex spot, and there's kind of some debate. Do you want your flex spot to be a running back? Do you want your flex to be a wide receiver? It kind of depends. You know, I mean, I think running backs are the most consistent, but wide receivers typically spike the hardest. You know, that you see a random guy like a Ricky Pearsall or Jawan Jennings at the end of last season just all of a sudden goes for a huge score. T. Higgins put up 40, 50 points. And I think that's just why people end up wanting to have more wide receivers. So I typically have more receivers than running backs. Every now and then I'll do a 2-7-7-2, which is two QBs, seven running backs, seven wide receivers, and two tight ends. But typically I'm going more for something like 2-5-8-3. That's probably my most common build. I usually get a couple of really strong running backs early. I take some handcuff running backs later. If I get really strong wide receivers early, like my five of my first seven or eight picks, then I'll maybe do like a 2-6-7-3. I usually get three tight ends. I think that there's a lot of people out there who think, well, if I get a McBride, a Kittle, or a Bowers, shouldn't I only have two? But you can flex the tight end, so I don't mind having a third. If I get two studs, if I start with like Kittle and Laporta, then I might just go two. But if I'm taking, you know, McBride, Kittle early, but I'm waiting a long time on my second one, I'll often add a third. And I also find that tight ends are a great way to stack with a quarterback. There's a lot of tight ends going late in drafts that you can, what's called backstack, which means you took the quarterback first, and now you can get the tight end later. The problem with a lot of quarterbacks, let's say you take Tua, well, Hill and Waddle are already gone. So your only option now, if you take Tua and you don't have Hill or Waddle, you've got to now go backstack either Malik Washington, who I do like, but you know, people are then looking for tight ends. I don't even really like Darren Waller, so it's not a great example, but that's kind of what people talk about when they say backstacking. You have to backstack Joe Burrow, right? I mean, Chase goes number one. Higgins goes 24. People grab Burrow all the time in the 60s when they don't have one of those guys. But then you're kind of stuck with Noah Fant or Mike Gesicki and Andre Yoshivas. So those are the options that we're going to talk about as we're drafting here. But if this is going a little over your head, it'll make sense when we get in there.
Yeah, so explain to us, why is it that we want to stack teams? First of all, do you always stack? And second of all, why are the stacks so important?
Yeah, I actually think that stacking is less important than the average person. I'd still rather stack. But I think, you know, I draft a ton of Justin Fields. He's my most owned quarterback. I don't think it's super important to stack when you have Justin Fields. If I can backstack with Mason Taylor at the end of the draft, I do really like him. Maybe I'll take Josh Reynolds sometimes. But I don't really think Garrett Wilson is worth his early third round ADP. So just because I know I'm going to take Fields pretty often doesn't mean I'm going to reach for Garrett Wilson. I have hardly any Garrett Wilson exposure, and I have Justin Fields on about 30% of my teams. I think that's perfectly valid. If a guy can run or if a guy spreads it out, I don't think stacking is necessarily essential. You see quarterbacks put up 25, 30 points all the time without one of their receivers going nuts. And so I'm willing to not force stacks as much as some people do. I love when they fall to me because it's correlation, right? If the quarterback throws for three touchdowns and you have all the receivers, you're going to have some good scores there. But conversely, if the offense totally busts, you've got quite a few roster spots tied into that offense and they're all going to bust at the same time. So that can hurt you during the regular season. In those quarterfinals, semifinals, championship, you've got to be first place out of quite a few people to advance to the next round. And so people are looking for upside way more than they're looking for, you know, median outcomes. And that's where stacking gives you more upside because it's correlating a bunch of your players.
We know what it's like in DFS, right? When you're in DFS, you need stacks if you want to get to the top of the leaderboard, because whichever team is going to score 35, 40 points, you know that if you've got three or four other guys, you're going to be climbing real quick. So if you have a real good stack for week 15, you can make it to the semifinals, and then you're winning at least $100. If you have a really good stack for week 16, you're going to make it to the finals, and you're going to win at least $1,000, and you've got a chance of that $2 million prize. If you don't stack, it would really, just like DFS, it would really take a lot of things falling the right way, which is kind of tough to do. So do you have any specific stacks that you really love? I saw you've got a lot of Falcons.
I do have a lot of Falcons. I do. And I really like the Panthers. I have a lot of them. But what I will say is the year that I won $100,000. I finished second place in a big best ball contest on Underdog. I think it was 3 years ago. And you know why I won? Is because Alvin Kamara had 6 touchdowns on Christmas Day. And you either had Alvin Kamara or you didn't. A year later, you either had the Bengals stack or you didn't. And then a year later, I think you kind of had to have Diggs. But you didn't need Allen. You didn't need the other Bills receivers. Diggs had like 30. Last year, you just needed T. Higgins. You didn't need Jamar Chase. So, you know, and last year also, you really needed Ricky Pearsall and you really needed Juwan Jennings. But you didn't need Kittle, McCaffrey, Purdy, or Ayuk. So, it often comes down to just kind of random one-off guys. I'd say it's split between the years where you truly need a stack versus just needing the right guy. People will often say, oh, the 49ers stack won. It's like, well, not really. You know, the top four guys there didn't do anything. It was the wide receiver 4 and 5 off the board is who you needed. So I wouldn't call that a stack. So I think it's a little bit of a mixed bag. I think there's definitely viable teams out there, especially with a rushing quarterback like Fields, where you can easily see Fields going for 30, 40 points with a bunch of rushing touchdowns or a bunch of rushing yards. Same with Lamar Jackson. I mean, you could have naked Lamar. There's no need to pair him. I'd rather, if Mark Andrews falls to me, I'd prefer it. But I'm not reaching a whole round to get Zay Flowers or Mark Andrews or Bateman when we all know Lamar is capable of getting the big score on his own.
I'm a lot more worried about missing out on value than I am about forcing stacks and reaching for guys. And you'll see folks do that. So there's going to be some dudes that fall to us here. It's really interesting because everyone at this point, I think most of you probably know who Juwan Jennings is, right? But last year, you're like, wait, he was drafted in this? Yeah, we're talking 18 rounds, 12 teams. We're going to get really deep. And some of these late round guys, a Bucky Irving, a Chase Brown from last year, you're going to absolutely strike gold. And you don't just have to, you know, get the first and second round guys who have strong seasons, a breakout like Saquon Barkley just absolutely tearing it up. You really need some of those late round guys to really blow up too. So we're going to be talking about some folks that you're not going to be targeting in traditional fantasy football. It's going to get really dang deep here. And I want to go back to what he said. What we're really looking for most of the time is something along the lines of two reliable quarterbacks, so that 1 week you've got one guy going for 25 and the next week you've got a guy who's going for 18, and you need that every single week. Typically two quarterbacks who are going to keep their job, you're going to be all right as long as you're not waiting really, really late to get your two quarterbacks. 5, maybe 6, sometimes even 7 running backs if you really want to aim for some of those high upside guys and you're waiting on running back. And then the wide receivers, we really want to get a lot of them. At least 6, definitely 7 or 8, maybe even 9 in some drafts. But Justin talked about targeting 8 of them because wide receivers are not as consistent. You know, running backs, you're going to get 10 to 20 touches per week for your top dogs, right? Wide receivers, only the guys going in the first 2 or 3 rounds are really going to be getting 8 to 10 targets per week. So what we really want to do is aim for a lot of those guys and aim for the dudes that could break out and have a big old game. So tight end, same kind of thing, get 3 of them. That's what we're going for. Well, we're going to dive into this draft together here, Justin, and it's going to be interesting because we're going to have some debate. We are drafting the same team. We're not going to be in a draft against one another. We have to decide together. So we got to build some frameworks to make sure we can do this the right way. First of all, we're going to build a queue while the other teams are picking. That way we don't auto draft because these things move fast. 20 seconds per pick. I've been auto drafted once before, never doing it again, right? And another thing we're going to do, if we take your guy Next round, I've kind of got the tiebreaker, right? If we take my guy, the next round, you've got the tiebreaker, but we each have two vetoes. So I know I've got some guys in my head that if you want to click the button on, I'm pushing that veto button, and vice versa. So anything else you want to add to that before we dive on in?
I will just say that I think auto-drafting is viable, but you have to have your own custom rankings. You can't just auto-draft off ADP. But I actually auto-drafted all of my teams for the last 3 years. The year I won the 100K, I was an auto-drafted team. I actually just work really, really hard on my rankings. I update my rankings every day. And when time, this summer I've had more time. I've been drafting my own teams. I've been having fun with it. But a lot of times, if I'm busy, I'll just auto-draft my teams. And the danger is that you can have overlapping bye weeks, but that's just going to hurt you for 1 week, right? Say you take two quarterbacks with a week 8 bye. All right, so that costs you like 15 to 20 points. But hopefully your team is good enough that you're still advancing into the playoff rounds. And once you get to the playoffs, it doesn't matter that you had overlapping buys. So the way that auto-drafting can work is last year especially, I was just taking all the running quarterbacks. So I didn't see any need to sit there and do the draft myself because the way I draft typically is I value draft, right? Whoever the best player on my rankings is who's still on the board, that's who I want most of the time. So I just didn't feel the need to be in the lobby if I was just going to take a bunch of rushing QBs and value draft the whole time. This season, I have a lot more interest in some of the passing QBs, like a Penix or a Bryce Young, who you really need to stack because those guys are not going to run wild. So that's why I'm drafting a lot more this year, and then just I have more time. But I had to throw out a little defense of the auto draft because it's viable if you set your rankings correctly.
All right, I'm about to hit the start button to start this draft, but reminder before we do begin, you can get $50 in bonus funds on Underdog when you play just $5. What you need to do, go to my X account, otherwise known as Twitter, right? At your mom's FF pod, click the Underdog link, enter the promo code TEAMJORTS, and if you're my draft, please don't snipe me on DK Metcalf, thanks. Also, hearing the draft is one thing, but if you want to see the interface, the draft board, who's available, and follow along, I've posted it on our new YouTube channel. Just search Your Mom's Fantasy on YouTube, hit the subscribe button, and follow along. All right, let's do this. So let's dive on in, Justin, and I want to start planning when we hit enter for our $2 million prize, which we're going to split together. We'll be able to go back to this. Everyone can watch and be like, man, how'd those guys win $2 million? Here's the strategy behind it, and we were fighting the whole time. But what are you going to do when you get your $1 million, man? Where are you going on vacation?
Boy, well, I'm already on vacation. I'm actually up in Michigan getting out of the Texas heat. I'll probably, if we win the million, I'll take my wife to Bora Bora. I think that's a good goal.
That sounds great.
Put out there and commit to. What about you?
This draft filled fast, man. I think we got right in at the nick of time. 50 seconds until we start. We've got pick number 8. And I'm
wondering, you gotta commit to buying your wife something. I'm not letting you get away with this. You gotta commit to buying your wife something.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll buy my wife the Grand Wagoneer that she wants.
There you go. All right.
For all of our, 2,000 kids that we can cram in the backseat.
Perfect. All right. We're committed. Yeah, dude, these things fill so fast. That's the great thing about BBM, which is the Best Ball Mania, the big contest. Anytime you want to draft, I mean, dude, Emma woke up at 4 a.m. in the middle of the night one time. I was rocking her to sleep and I was just wide awake and I was like, what am I going to do with myself? And I joined one of these lobbies and it said waiting for 8 more people to join. And I was like, oh, at 4 a.m.? Come on. Dude, it took like a minute. And the thing was filled, and I was drafting away. It was great. So, yeah, I'm going to be bummed.
Awesome.
When I finish my 150 BBM entries, I'm going to be bummed because all the other contests take a lot longer as well.
A bunch of degenerates drafting at 4 a.m. That's fantastic.
Those are good lobbies too, dude. Some of those people are drunk as hell. They are doing some real dumb stuff.
That's a good strategy. So we're looking at pick number 8. We're probably going to be deciding between McCaffrey, Neighbors, Nico Collins, Puka. Who are you eyeing at this point?
So I always end up taking McCaffrey there. I actually take him ahead of Jefferson as well. I have some concerns over the hamstring, concerns over the offense changing. I don't hate Jefferson. I just typically take him about 9 or 10, and he's rarely there. Yeah, McCaffrey just
feels like... If he's not
like,
there, who are we going with between the wide receivers, or are we reaching for one of those second-round running backs? I don't love any of these 4 wide receivers.
Yeah, I typically take Collins at 8 or 9 if I have to. Oh, is McCaffrey gone? Oh, he is.
McCaffrey's gone. I'm down with Collins. Is that who you want to go with?
That's who I usually take here.
He's been getting a lot of heat from folks, but the reality is, I mean, he doesn't really have much competition. Look at what he did the last 2 years there, with 1,000 yards plus. He was dealing with the injury. He's still very young. We got it in. I almost auto-drafted. That's how quick it goes, because I'm sitting there trying to talk.
Yeah. Okay, so my second
We're
going to
be coming up here again in just a moment. So who are we eyeing? Are we going to go running back? Or
my ideal would be to get Derrick Henry, but I doubt he's going to be there. If he is, great at 17.
I'd take him over Ashton as well.
Yeah, I almost never click on Ashton. I just feel like that run game is horrible. I mean, they can't block at all. So, I mean, at the college level, you know, he could break some runs without good blocking. But at the NFL level, if you don't have a hole to run through, I mean, you know, Barry Sanders can't do much without any holes to run through. So I just don't love taking Ashton. You know, at 17, Drake London, I love if we could get a Falcon stack going.
Went away. We got a chance at Henry. We're one pick away. And he's there. Chase Brown.
Oh, wow. Let's go Derrick Henry, baby. That's great. Someone chased Brown.
Wasn't Derrick Henry, who would you have taken at that spot? A.J. Brown, or would you reach for one of these three running backs? Because I like them all. Josh Jacobs, maybe over Taylor and Irving for me.
Yeah, I do like them all. I try to take Brown or Bowers there just so I don't always go so running back heavy, but I have a lot of Taylor, a lot of Jacobs. Jacobs, I think, gets really disrespected. That's a good offense, and he gets a ton of carries. So, I don't know what the dislike for him is.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily sure either. I love Bucky Irving. I'm frankly shocked his ADP is down at 21, but Josh Jacobs.
I think there's just some concern that, you know, Sean Tucker and Rashad White each get a piece of the work there.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of times where these guys break out in the late half of the season and just absolutely crush it the next year. They're still a little bit underdrafted because we're not necessarily sure if it was the real deal. But we're starting Nico Collins and Derrick Henry. This is a very Bobby Sylvester brand draft so far. Who are we aiming for
in the
late third round? Omarion Hampton has climbed way up in ADP. Do you like him at pick 30? Which is where
I mean, as a UNC guy, wow, he's already gone. As a UNC guy, I feel like I should love him. He was great to us last year, but the problem I have with him is that I don't expect Najee Harris to go away. I think and the coach has already said, even if Najee isn't ready for week one after he shot a firework into his eye, that they would still split carries. Omarion Hampton would split with somebody else. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm drafting a guy 30th that is just a split carry back. And look, that's every rookie to start, right? And then they ramp it up. But I don't know. I don't see a huge difference between Hampton and running backs that go like pick 60.
Caleb Johnson,
like,
right?
RJ Hardy.
Tyreek Hill is still on the board. Is he going to fall to us? ADP 24. Wow. We're at pick 32.
That would be nice. I wouldn't mind JSN or Devontae Adams if we can't get Tyreek Hill. But yeah, Tyreek would be great to get here.
Come on, don't auto draft, bro. He did it. He went to Devontae Adams.
Wow.
We got Tyreek Hill.
We're getting
followers. Are you cool with that pick?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Let's do it, baby. So far, we're in agreement. Now, that's not going to last the whole time. I think we're about to throw down here on this next pick because I really don't love anyone in this range. So I'm kind of up to just letting
You should be amicable. Yeah, I was going to say, if you don't like anybody.
And this is the spot, though, where I like to reach for DK Metcalf. It just might be a little too high.
I love DK. I just think we actually could. Yeah, we probably won't get him on our next pick. Yeah, DK.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be there. His ADP is 49, and we're picking at 41. I just feel like
I mean the following one. Yeah, like could we try to let him drop? That's what I usually try to do rather than reach. Yeah. You know, if JSN or Kittle is there, that's easy. If Tet's there, I think
our next
that's
pick
easy.
Is 56, so I doubt he'll be there. But I'm
doubt
fine,
it, but it's possible.
And just letting you make the pick.
Okay. I mean, I love getting JSN or Kittle. I doubt we get him, but that would be the ideal. Kittle, I don't understand why
he's on the board. I would take Kittle in a heartbeat.
I don't really get why Kittle is so low. I find Bowers and McBride to be even with Kittle in my book. Kittle's my highest drafted tight end. I've got 18.5% of him. That's my highest exposure tight end.
Usually tight end in each of the last 3 years, and yet we're drafting him as tight end 3. There goes Kittle.
Yeah.
Let's see. JSN's on the board, baby.
Wow, we're getting some
another huge fall.
Ballers.
We're picking at 41. Yeah. His ADP is 33. I'm smashing that.
Great
draft
start. Putting together a great wide receiver room.
Absolutely. I'm digging this for sure. There's a lot of running backs that I like quite a bit later that mm-hmm. I think have substantial upside. I wouldn't mind grabbing one more solid back before then.
What do you think of Kenneth Walker? Are you worried about his health, or do you think because the scheme is great? Whoever runs behind that scheme, I think, is going to have a really good season.
I'm fine with Kenneth Walker at this point. I think the ADP is maybe a little bit too high for my liking, just because there's a lot of questions with what happens in that Seattle backfield. I feel like every single year, Devontae Smith has really interested me with A.J. Brown dealing with a little bit of an injury right now. I feel like if anything happened to A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, we'd be drafting him probably late second round, early third. His stock would fly up.
Yeah, that's a good point. And yeah, I don't even know who else Philly has. Like, no one could really step in. I mean, Goddard would probably also be pretty good. But yeah, I agree.
I'd love to get Metcalf
if he could. The way these receivers are falling in this draft, it would not
Metcalf
shock me.
Just went, I was just
Metcalf.
About to click the button.
Oh.
Jalen Waddle, somebody that I've got a fair amount of. Same thing with Tyreek Hill. I mean,
well, I would love to. I'd love to get Waddle
here. Hill's getting older.
I actually think Waddle might be the priority here, and we could build a Dolphin stack.
That would be fine with me.
What do you think of that?
Because we've got Tyreek. If those two guys are gone, who are you eyeing here?
I think we would just take Ken Walker. I mean, I know you don't love him at 48, but at 56, and then you kind of pair him with JSN, we could start building a couple of different team stacks here.
I did not even realize we were almost up. So, okay, it's
on
to you.
One away.
If they're both there, are you taking Walker or Waddle? I don't care either way. I'm fine with either.
There
goes Walker.
Well, okay. Well, we don't have to decide. All right. Yeah, I think this is a good start. And now this is the type of team where we could just take like 7 wide receivers because we have such strong wide receivers already that we could then load up on late round running backs, which is really fun because if the starters get hurt in front of them, those guys become elite picks. And it's a lot easier to hit on a late round running back than it is on any other position to like really hit big because all
especially
you need
if you've
is
got 5 late round running backs, right? You've got a chance. Right. If we can get Bucky Irving and Chase Brown like last year, if we can get those two guys for this year, we could be sitting pretty with this wide receiver room and Derek Henry.
Or it's just as simple as you take Trey Benson at pick 130 and then James Conner gets hurt like he usually does. And now you've got an RB1 at pick 130. I mean, if Conner was out for the year right now, Trey Benson would be a round 5 pick. So,
I love Trey Benson. He's my number one drafted guy. So those are the types
really?
Of guys I'm on.
Okay,
sure.
I think Benson's an awesome pick.
All right, let's see here. Now, if this is me, I'm taking Caleb Johnson here all day long.
Really? Okay, I do like Caleb. Yeah, I think he's a great runner.
Is there anyone ahead of him that you would prefer?
Well, with Kamara still being there, normally I would just take him just to get some exposure to him. But I'm good with Caleb here just to build the team that we want.
We've got a chance to get both of them. Actually, you know what? Probably not. I'm going to go Caleb Johnson here.
All right. Your guy.
I'm pulling the executive trigger on Caleb
Johnson.
Yeah,
no,
I've got a lot of shares. But
I don't like
Kamara.
I don't like
65. That would have been nice.
Yeah. I personally don't take Kamara very often, but that's about 10 picks back is about where I would rank him.
Likewise, I just don't see much happening in that Saints offense. He's getting quite a bit older. And then Caleb Johnson, I'm just a huge fan of that Pittsburgh offense. We know that they love to run. We know they've got a great offensive line. Caleb Johnson can catch the ball. They don't really have much else going on in that backfield. I think he's going to be a 3-down back from the get-go. And it's interesting you were talking about, you know, Ashton with the Las Vegas Raiders. And you don't like him in the second round. I don't either because of the offense. Now, look, the question is his talent gap between him and Caleb Johnson so much bigger than the gap between their offenses, Pittsburgh for a running back versus Genty for a Raiders back, and a 5-round difference in ADP?
I don't see it.
I'm taking Caleb Johnson 30, 40% of drafts so far. And Jenty, I believe I've got 2, 3% ownership. So I think that's one or two clicks for me.
I think we're about exactly the same on that.
So coming up here at pick 80, I don't know if it's going to happen for us, but Sam Laporta, you were talking about Mark Andrews' injuries. Sam Laporta was dealing with quite a few second half of the season.
He was.
He absolutely crushed it. That's who I would click. Who do you like in this range?
I love Laporta. He is my second highest pick tight end after Kittle, so I would be happy to get him.
If he's not there, let's go for a backup plan. Who are you liking?
You know, I end up taking a lot of David Montgomery because he scores pretty well on his own, and if anything were to ever happen to Jahmyr Gibbs, then Montgomery probably becomes a top 10 running back. So Gibbs never misses games. But that can change for anybody on one bad play, you know. So I think people are kind of forgetting how much handcuff value David Montgomery has alongside Gibbs there.
It's a great way to put it. Everyone's talking about those backup running backs going around 10 to 15, right? But the reality is we've got a guy going here in round 7 that has as much upside as anyone. You remember a way back, but it wasn't Le'Veon Bell. The running back there went down in Pittsburgh.
We got Laporta.
D'Angelo Williams was the number one running back. There goes Montgomery. Right. Laporta's there for
Laporta.
And let's hope Brian Robinson drops to us.
That'd be great. Yeah, I have no interest in Jaden Reed. This
How
is
are
what
you
I'm
feeling
talking
about Joe
with.
Mixon all the way down at ADP 86?
I never picked Mixon. I think there's a chance Mixon just never plays. I mean, we're getting so little information, which is usually a bad sign. And all we're hearing is that he's out for a prolonged period of time. I mean, that's – look, I went pretty bold in my baseball strategy this year. For MLB best ball, I drafted a bunch of injured pitchers that had timelines of anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks that they were expected to be back. By the All-Star break, none of them had returned. So – you really can't count on injury timelines, and also, like, they might come back, but just not be 100%. So anyway, I had like a record.
Learned my lesson so many times, especially with foot injuries at running backs. Not something I want to mess with.
Yeah, so I just never click Mixon, and this is why you want custom rankings, because if this 20-second clock runs out, and we're distracted, or you know, your dog's barking, and you look away, all of a sudden you have Joe Mixon on your roster, like. That's why I rank my custom ranks. I think I have Mixon like 130. I mean, I almost would never get him. I'll look. Maybe not that low, but
there goes Mixon. Somebody just auto drafted him. I've got two guys on the queue, Justin. These are guys at this range I'm comfortable with, but I'm open minded here because I'm not tied to either of them.
I'm good with both. I guess I'd say I typically take Fields over Murray if I don't have a McBride or Marvin Harrison. But I'm good with Downs here. I mean, I think. Scroll up to the top. Yeah, I think Downs is the best pick here. Yeah.
Sounds good. I got a lot of Josh Downs. I'm really hoping that Anthony Richardson does not start the entire season there, because if they're passing and they're playing from behind, they've actually got a quietly very good offensive line built in Indianapolis. I think that Josh Downs could absolutely explode this year.
So I really like Kyler because he has talked about how he's finally over his knee injury and he's going to run a lot more this year than he has in the past. But the only hesitancy is, like, if I don't have, well, he just went, but if I don't have McBride or Marvin Harrison, then it's just a little harder to get there with Kyler. There's really no back stack. I mean, Michael Wilson is splitting wide receiver 2 reps with Zay Jones right now in camp. I mean, I don't want to draft Wilson or Jones. I'll take a little Wilson, but yeah, I don't love it. Mark Andrews would be great. And then we could be done at tight end.
Right. I kind of like that with two incredible tight ends. Laporta and Andrews would be sweet. There goes Keon Coleman. We both have a lot of shares of Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
Now, if it comes down to Fields and Mark Andrews, who do you want to pull the trigger on?
If we don't take Fields, then we're getting into the territory where it feels like we might need 2-3 quarterbacks because we just won't have like a dominant guy.
Yeah. I honestly would not mind going with a, you know, some mid-round guys. Drake May, a Justin Herbert.
Yeah, I'm okay with loading up. And we should definitely, we have to take Tua. We can't forget about that. So, that's already one kind of mid-round QB. Oh, well, now Andrews is gone. So let's have a backup plan if Fields goes. I like Dobbins I think if Dobbins hadn't forgotten his helmet to the preseason game, he'd be going a lot higher. Did you hear about that?
Dobbins is there. I love J.K. Dobbins because we know that offense is going to be good. We know what Sean Payton likes to do running the football.
But everyone's freaking out about, oh, Harvey got the start. Harvey got 7 carries to Dobbins 1. Well, Dobbins couldn't find his helmet. So he was supposed to start the game. I think you'd see Harvey's ADP falling and Dobbins rising if Dobbins had brought his helmet and or could find it and he was out there with the starters. So, I think I don't actually have a ton of Dobbins because I think over time it shifts towards Harvey. And also, so many people were drafting Dobbins when he was at like 170, 180. So now that his ADP is 70, 80 spots higher, I'm buying the absolute highest possible price. Well, at least that's what I thought. That's why I wasn't drafting him much. But now I think he's going to rise even more, so I'm willing to buy in a little more.
Somebody just reached for Keenan Allen. Like ADP is 139, and they took him at pick 105. I actually love that. I wouldn't have gone this high, but it's
I have 20% Allen, but I got all of it around pick 190, 200 right. when he was a free agent. So
Keenan Allen is my number two most owned player behind Trey Benson. I've got a
that's
lot
that's something.
Of
look, if, for the listeners, that's something to take away from this. Just draft the free agents that are actually good, and then they always
hold on, Justin. We are up. Okay. Why don't you just go ahead and make a pick? We'll go with whoever you want.
I really like Rashid Shaheed this year. I think he's going to have a huge year. But we already have 5 receivers. Are we pushing it?
How do you feel about Njoku?
Yeah, I do like Tucker Kraft, but let's take Shaheed.
Too late. We got Brock Purdy.
Oh, see, that's what happens.
Lesson learned from everyone watching the podcast.
Yep. Yeah, dude, it happens every draft. It's like you think it's not going to happen to you, but 20 seconds is not much time.
I should have just clicked Shaheed. I saw the clock, and I was like, I think we got enough time. He went right after us.
Yeah, it's okay. That's tough.
Who knows? Maybe he'll have a magical week 15 or something.
Purdy can spread the ball out. You know, he's a guy you can take naked. I think people think you have to stack Brock Purdy, but actually, as we saw last year, I mean, you tried to stack him with Ayuk and Debo and Kittle, and then he goes off with his wide receiver 4 and 5. So I think you could get away with, and he actually runs a little bit too. He runs more than people think. Look, I'm obviously
really bummed about this because for some reason I was thinking we drafted Justin Fields, and I was like, damn, now we're going to have 3 quarterbacks, and one of them's going to be Tua. But this isn't too bad. I don't mind having him as my first quarterback.
Yeah, he doesn't have the same bias to it. You know, if Christian Kirk is still on the board next, then we could go Kirk, Stroud, and then we could also have Tua. We could have 3 QBs since we already have Nico.
There goes Ray Davis. Ray Davis is one of my dudes.
Even after James Cook got paid?
I'm still on Davis just for the sheer potential that if he gets hurt, Ray Davis is immediately a top 10 running back.
That's true. And I have a lot of Ray Davis as well. But I was hoping the holdout might be. Okay.
Let's see our other wide receivers.
This is the ugliest. This is the ugliest section of the draft, in my opinion. I never know what to do here. I take a lot of Ramondre.
We could reach for Stroud here. There's your Javonte Williams.
No way.
Dalton Kincaid and be done with tight end. I'm not sure if that's good enough.
I don't even think that's good enough. Yeah. It's an ugly spot. Is scroll up to the top?
It's up.
It's up. Oh, ugh.
Yuck.
All right. Yeah, I guess Stroud or I often just take Braylon Allen here. I just reach and grab Braylon Allen, but he's about 20 spots down, but he climbs. He never goes at ADP. He's climbing every day.
All right, well, we got Stroud because I couldn't find Allen fast enough, unfortunately. Okay. But hopefully we can get him with the next pick because I love Braylon Allen.
I think there's a chance they get rid of Breece Hall. Now, maybe not before the season, but I think by the deadline, if they're...
The Cowboys?
Yeah, you know, maybe. I mean, look, if the Cowboys have a winning record and the Jets are out of it and the Cowboys aren't getting production out of their running back, I could see you get rid of Breece. I mean, Braylon is... People make fun of Braylon because he didn't do enough to their expectations. I don't know, but I think Braylon is actually really good. So
do you like the Cardinals offense or do you like the Jets offense better?
I would take Benson because Braylon could still be there at the next pick. And
he's gone, unfortunately. I was really excited because I wanted Trey Benson.
cue up Tua so we don't forget. We got to take him at the next, maybe not this pick, but the one after, we got to take him. I think you can see a lot of people reach for their quarterbacks to make sure they get their stack. I usually, if I've got all the weapons, I'll let him fall to ADP or a little beyond, because why would anyone take Tua when we have Hill and Waddle? And it'll happen. People will do it, and it'll piss you off. But logically, they shouldn't. So I usually try to let the QB fall, and I wouldn't take him yet. I'd wait one more spot. Oh, good. Did we get Braylon? All right.
We got Braylon Allen. All right. So at running back, we're looking at Derrick Henry, Caleb Johnson, J.K. Dobbins, Braylon Allen. That's a solid start. Quarterback, we got Purdy and Stroud. Tight end, all we've got so far is Sam Laporta, so we're going to need to pair him with two other late-round guys. We'll talk about who we like when we get a little bit further. Nico Collins, Tyreek Hill, JSN, Jalen Waddle, Josh Downs. That's hot, baby.
That is good. The only thing that's, yeah, I wouldn't say either any of our quarterbacks have good back-stacking tight end options. So I think we just take our favorite tight ends here and we just don't stack them.
That sounds great to me. We got to get Tua here. I think he's going to fall to us. If he doesn't, this is the spot I love to take Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, I like Hollywood a lot. People forget that he was like the number one guy in Baltimore for a while. He was really good. He's only 28 years old, and he's been dealing with an injury for a while that he says he's finally passed. So that goes right into what we were saying at the beginning of the show, how when a guy tells you that they're healthy now and they were hurt, that's a good time to grab him, because they're always – They get punished so severely in the ADP for having some bad games. It's funny, if they would just sit out and not play, imagine Mark Andrews just didn't play the first five games of the season. People would say, oh, Mark Andrews had a top five tight end season. He's great. But because he played those games and he gutted it out and he allowed himself to be a decoy, now his game logs look ugly and people doubt him.
Brenton Strange just went. He's a guy I like. We did get Tua. Hollywood Brown is already off the board. It was going to be really hard for me to click on Tua, Justin, with Hollywood Brown there. I would have done it, but it would have been hard. So are we going with your running back here, or is there somebody else you like? I love Hunter Henry. I don't know how you feel about
Hunter Henry, and we need a tight end. So I would say we prioritize Hunter Henry.
Good deal. Drake May loves to pass to tight ends. Hunter Henry was solid last year again. He's been in the league for a while, but tight ends tend to produce a little bit later in their career. And I don't see too much competition for targets there in New England.
Yeah, no, I think he's a good pick. And there's a lot of running backs at every round for the rest of the draft. There's good running backs to take. So I'm always willing to wait here.
If both of them are gone and there's a chance, I would reach for Nick Chubb here, because we talked about Joe Mixon. We know that Houston offense can be good. Their offensive line's crap. But Nick Chubb at pick 167, when he's probably going to start for a good offense, I'd love that.
Yeah, I've been taking Chubb a lot lately. He could be dust, but if he's not, then look out.
Yeah, his it doesn't look good right now. He definitely does not look quick, but you know, with opportunity, it doesn't necessarily matter. Now, Allgeier was taken.
Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry, baby. Let's get him. We've got Laporta and Henry. I want to scroll down. We got a lot of time before our next pick. Looking at these tight ends remaining on the board, who are your favorite guys to get as a tight end three? I know you mentioned Mason Taylor.
Yeah, I like Taylor if we have Fields. I still like him fine, but I typically prioritize I like Chigokonkwo a lot. He played every snap with Cam Ward in the first preseason game. And after Calvin Ridley, there's nobody. You know, I mean, I know Ward is talking up all his guys, saying everyone's, you know, he thinks he's a top five wide receiver room in the league. And what's he supposed to say? The fact is, he's got Tyler Lockett, A.O. Manor, Restrepo. I mean, these guys aren't game breakers. Chigokonkwo is someone who's been hyped up year after year after year, and the passing offense just hasn't been good enough. And it looks like he's finally going to be an every down tight end at the same time as they finally get a real quarterback. I think everything's kind of falling into place for Chig to just break out. And if you look at his Vegas props, his yardage props are much higher than all the other tight ends in his range. So, you know, like Brenton Strange is projected in Vegas for like 150 yards less than Chigokonkwo. So if you like Strange at 150, you love Chig at 177. So that's kind of, you know, there's a lot working in his favor. I've been taking him a lot lately. But, you know, it's hard to get him because every time you think he's going to be there, he seems to get off the board earlier and earlier.
So Nick Chubb, cross our fingers, is still there, three picks away from us. And that would be huge. I'd be doing cartwheels here in just a second. I'm curious what you think, not quite yet, but about Dalton Schultz stacking him with Stroud and Nico Collins.
Yeah, you know, okay, there's Chubb. All right. I do it sometimes, but I do worry about Cade Stover. I'm hearing a lot of positive things about Cade Stover. I worry it's just going to be a split backfield, and then it's just like, eh, like, I wouldn't be thrilled. I'd rather have someone like Jatavion Sanders, who I think is going to be an every down guy. Same with Mason Taylor.
Chubb is off the board, unfortunately.
Yes, wow, okay.
Do you like any of these tight ends? Cade Otton.
I like Otton and Taylor. I think both of those guys are the only two every down backs, every down tight ends. Theo Johnson's probably the last one. I would think those are the three every down tight ends that are still on the board.
He's my guy, but we also have Keaton Mitchell. I love Keaton Mitchell.
I like Keaton Mitchell a lot, but because we have Derrick Henry, I don't want to do it because
it limits our upside.
Yeah. Like, I think the only way Mitchell has a great year is if Henry gets hurt, and then our roster, we should just consider the team a throwaway if Derrick Henry gets hurt. So, yeah, I'd rather handcuff someone else's running back so we can just have an absolute loaded running back room.
So we've got five running backs right now. I think maybe take one or two more. Miles Sanders.
I don't know. Wait, hold on. Before you click on Sanders, I think we're trending towards a 3-5-7-3 build, in my opinion. What wide receivers are left?
We got 10 seconds left. There's not much.
Nothing good. All right, let's take Sanders. But I think that has to be our last running back because otherwise, how many receivers do we have?
We've only got five.
Yeah, I think we need to take another receiver or two. I mean, yeah. I would say if Mason Taylor is there next, we could take him. Five receivers is too little. I mean, even
it's
six
way
is
too
pushing
small.
It.
So who do you like that's left? Because right now, what I'm seeing on the board, there's nobody I like. I like to scroll down a little bit.
I like Malik Washington.
There's Ray. Deontay's
a big risk. See, I don't think we can take a risk of a zero. I think someone like Ray Ray is probably who we need just because we know he's on the field like 80% of the time. Ray Ray's the highest floor guy left. Tutu Atwell should be out there a lot. He got paid $10 million guaranteed in the offseason, which is like a top 25 wide receiver contract. So I'd be shocked if Tutu is not on the field. Yeah, that's another thing. I think people forget to look at that a little bit. Like, everyone's looking at draft capital. People don't look at how much they're paying these guys. I mean, Dyami Brown and Tutu Atwell are, you know, they're getting paid like fringe wide receiver ones or wide receiver twos.
Dyami Brown going to Jacksonville. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about it.
He's good. That's a UNC guy I do really like to draft is Dyami Brown.
He's going to have four or five games this year where he breaks a real long catch. That's just the player he is, and he's going to be featured in that new offense. I mean, the head coach went out and got him. So who are you wanting here? Is Mason Taylor there? Are we taking a third tight end, or do we really need two wide receivers?
I think you can go either way. I think I kind of split how I handle this. I like Ray Ray and Malik. The Malik is a little risky. I mean, he could end up not being as involved as people think. Oh, well, there goes Taylor. So now I think we just accept two tight ends and we take two more receivers.
I agree. Is Ray Ray the pick? Do you want to go Malik?
I think Ray Ray's the most important one to get because if we don't get him, then there's really nobody with a high floor on the board.
All right, let's do it.
And see, this is why I end up with so much Ray Ray, even when I don't have Penix, because it gets to this point where it's like, all right, you got guys like Pat Bryant and Jack Beck, who may never play. DeAndre Hopkins, who I actually do like, but he's kind of old. And then, yeah, guys like Royals and Tesla. I mean, you could try to hit the next Puka, but, you know, 19.
I mean, Darius Slayton is going to be starting for the Giants. They've got Russell Wilson now. Maybe James Winston, maybe Jackson Dart.
Slayton's all right. Malik Washington does have a lot of potential, though. They got rid of Jonnu Smith. Some people think they did that because they believe in Malik Washington. And then they come out in the first preseason game. Washington runs five routes with Tua, and he gets targeted four times on five routes. So You know, he could be the new Janu who just catches a lot of underneath stuff.
Do you think there's anything interesting about a dart throw like Elijah Moore? I mean, with Josh Allen, if Elijah Moore gets on the field, and right now I'm not sure he will, but I think there's some upside down there.
I like dart throwing on teams where I have 8 or even 9 wide receivers. I get a little apprehensive about dart throwing when I only have 6 or 7 because it's like there's really no room for error on bye weeks. You know, on Dolphins bye week, like we're going to need Ray McLeod's score. So I'd rather have like 8 or 9 points than.
And do you think Mark, that Amari Cooper signs with a team? And if he does,
he could sign halfway through the year. That's my only concern for him is like he might just keep rehabbing and then just sign halfway through the year. Whereas with Keenan Allen, I always believed he would sign well before the season started.
I'm going Malik Washington. Yeah. I'm trusting on this one. I don't have any shares, but I like what you're saying.
Okay. This is your first share.
I'm with you. I would go dart throws if we had more wide receivers, but because we don't, we really can't afford it. And I think it's going to come into use that we've got two guys who are going to be getting, you know, 60 to 75% of the snaps for their teams in pretty high-paced offenses. So here's our final roster. We got Brock Purdy, CJ Stroud. We got Tua. That's solid. Not a ton of upside there, but I like the stacks that we put together. Running back room, Derrick Henry, Caleb Johnson, J.K. Dobbins, Braylon Allen, Nick Chubb, and Miles Sanders.
I love that. Yeah, me too.
And then our wide receivers, we're stacked at the top. I mean, we've got to have the best wide receivers in the room. Nico Collins, Tyreek Hill fall into us. JSN fall into us. I can't believe those two guys fell as far as they did. Jalen Waddle, Josh Downs, and then we got Justin's guys, Ray McLeod and Malik Washington. And then a tight end. Hey, we're going to need a big season from my boy Sam Laporta. And we got Hunter Henry, who is steady and solid. I love our team. How are you feeling, Justin?
Yeah, I think it's really good. This is actually one of my favorite teams that I've drafted this is my first co-drafted team of the year. But yeah, it's one of my favorite teams so far. I think the tight end room, I think, will be fine. As long as Laporta stays healthy, I think he gives us good scores most of the time. And like you said, Henry's pretty consistent. So we might not win every week at tight end, but as long as we get to the playoffs with the rest of this loaded team, then we can get spike weeks from either of those guys when we need them most. And we're hoping the Dolphins have a good year through the air, and I think they really could. So, this is a fun team.
Justin, this was a lot of fun. I love our team, which I wasn't really expecting. I was thinking we were going to be going and getting a lot of guys that I wasn't super comfortable with, but we have pretty similar taste. I think we always have. But we got to make an agreement, all right? We make it to the live final, and we got to watch it together and sweat it out.
That sounds great. I hopefully I'll have other teams there as well, and then I'll be rooting for all of our teams. That'll be great.
Sure. All right. Well, sounds great. Justin, thank you for taking the time to come on the show. This was a blast. Remember, he's at reallygoodpicks.com, and he's on Twitter at Justin McMahon. Justin, it's a pleasure.
Thanks, Bobby.
That's all for today's show. Next week, we're going to have 3 more shows rolling out, including some huge guests. So hit the subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And please do help us get off the ground by giving us a good review to help others just like you find the show. If you haven't already, make sure to claim that underdog promo. Play just $5 and get $50 in bonus funds and up to $1,000 with a 50% deposit match using the code TEAMJORTS. Find the link on my social media at your mom's FF Pod. Thanks for listening. And enjoy your football.